This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, brothers, so we're about to start. So inshallah, anyone who is interested to join the halaqah, I would ask you inshallah to make your way into the musalla. Those of you who are not, inshallah, start inshallah to move towards the exits. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilman rabbal alameen. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, we've come to the story now of Musa and al-Khadr alayhim as-salam, and this day start at ayah 60. So this is where we're at. And the ayah previous to it, it's where Allah Azza wa Jalla says that, and he points the attention of the Meccans who are listening to these ayahs, and anyone who's rejecting the ayahs of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, وَتِلْكَ الْقُرَىٰ أَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ, we've destroyed these villages and these towns when they transgressed, and we had made or given an appointment, a set date for their destruction. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla starts talking about Musa alayhi salam as if to talk about two types of dates. The first type of date is a date of destruction that is set for those who displease Allah Azza wa Jalla, an appointment. The second is an appointment for those who please Allah Azza wa Jal, which is going to be a meeting between Musa and Al-Khadr. So that is also a set date or a set appointment. And Allah begins it by saying, وَإِذْ قَالَ, meaning وَذْكُرْ, إِذْ قَالَ, meaning remember and or mention. When Musa said لِفَتَاه, to his servant, لَا أَبْرَحُ, I will continue to walk, I'll continue to travel, I will not stop. حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ, until I'll reach the point where the two seas meet. أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا, or I will travel for ages and ages. And here, before we give you the background of that story, I want you to focus on how Allah Azza wa Jal tells that story, because a lot of the details are missing. Who is this person? Why is Musa heading to meet him? The place. Who is this person who is with Musa? A lot of the details are missing. And you may have, if you have an inquisitive and curious mind, start saying to yourself, but I need to know about this, and I need to know about that, and I need this detail and that location and this person. And Allah is not telling you, but rather Allah is telling you what? Don't ask, but focus on what I'm showing you and what I'm telling you. Don't ask until I tell you, and don't ask about what I do not tell you. And then you say to yourself, but I cannot be patient and I must know. And Allah tells you, what did Al-Khadr ask Musa to do in the story? What did he ask him to do? Don't ask until I tell you. So you are asked in the Quran repeatedly, don't ask until I tell you. And if I don't tell you something, don't focus on it, because there is no benefit in it. Otherwise, Allah would tell you about it. Allah would include that detail. So if you find yourself in the stories of the Quran drifting away from the focus of the Quran to minor incidental things that really are inconsequential, bring yourself back to what Allah is saying rather than what Allah is not saying, and focus on the story itself and the detail itself, and don't deviate from it, and don't lose your patience, because Allah is teaching you in this story not to ask unnecessary questions until Allah tells you what benefits you, right? So, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ, he tells his servant. Now, what is the background of this story? The background of this story is in the Sunnah. And the Sunnah tells us that he, alayhi salatu wasalam, said that Musa, one of those days, stood and he gave a khutbah, a sermon to Banu Israel. And it was such a moving and touching sermon that people were affected and they started to cry. And then when he finished, somebody asked Musa, alayhi salam, he said, is there someone more knowledgeable than you on the face of this earth? And Musa alayhi salam said, no. Musa alayhi salam said, no, meaning who's the most knowledgeable? No, he's saying, is there someone more knowledgeable than you, ya Musa, on this earth? He said, no, meaning I am the most knowledgeable. Yani, are you, أَنْتَ أَعْلَمُ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ? Are you the most knowledgeable person on earth? So Musa said, yes. So the hadith says, فَعَتِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. He says, Allah Azza wa Jal blamed him for that he did not refer the knowledge back to Allah Azza wa Jal. Meaning, how do you know that you are the most knowledgeable person on earth? If you could have said, yes, wallahu a'lam, that would have worked. Or Allahu a'lam, that would have worked. But just saying yes, عَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, Allah blamed him for that, right? And al-'atab is when you're upset with someone you love, right? Like someone who's dear to you and he doesn't visit you. So we'll say, أَعْتَبُ عَلَيْكَ, I feel upset with that. But you're not upset with someone that you hate, you're upset with someone that you love who didn't do what you expect from him. So if you think about it, that statement from Musa alayhi salam, that may Allah Azza wa Jal have this atab, is very minor, right? That is, if some of us says something like that, Allah Azza wa Jal will not hold you responsible for it at all, because we'd say and do things that are much worse than that. So Allah is not holding us to that standard, but he's holding Musa to that standard, that even in this, because you, Musa alayhi salam, are at such a level that a word like that matters coming from you. So a prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is not held to the same standards in terms of sin and in terms of obedience. So Musa said, yes, I am. So Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to him, no, there is such and such a person who's more knowledgeable than you. Meaning he knows what you do not know. He has, in some areas, knowledge that you do not have. So Musa alayhi salam immediately said, ya Allah, how can I reach him? How can I reach him? So Allah Azza wa Jal told him that he will carry with you a fish, a dead fish. Whenever that fish comes back to life, that's where he is. Right? Now, Musa alayhi salam, you see here in this ayah, his determination. He says, either I reach the meeting of the two seas, that's where Allah told him that person will be. You'll find him. The meeting where the place where the two seas, two bodies of water will meet. Where is that? He doesn't know where these two bodies are. You just need to travel and carry that fish with you. But his determination, either I'll reach it or I will travel huqba. 80, as they say, huqub is a lengthy period of time. 80 years. Or another 80, and another 80, and another 80, meaning what? An endless amount of time until I reach him. So why was he so determined, alayhi salam, for that? Because he wanted more knowledge. He wanted ilm. This is safar fi ta'atillah. This is a journey in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, which typically today we don't initiate unless you're going for what? What's the exception maybe? Typically, do we travel to obey Allah Azza wa Jal? Hajj. Hajj. And Umrah. Those are the ones, right? Otherwise, we typically don't do that. And even with our Hajj and our Umrah, part of it is tourism, because you get to go and see sights and buy things, right? So you get to have fun. With Musa alayhi salam, there is absolutely no fun in this travel at all. It's strictly seeking knowledge. And here, seeking knowledge means what? Because you understand why the intensity of his desire. It's not about, see, knowledge, you could seek it because it's intriguing. It's fascinating. Oh, a hadith I've never heard before, or an explanation of an ayah I've not heard before. So this is a desire for fresh new things. Okay? This, you could have it in any discipline, physics, chemistry, math, any of it. All of that could be fascinating because it's new and you did not know it before. You could travel for that. But the travel of Musa alayhi salam, li talab al-ilmi, for seeking knowledge, is because the knowledge that he acquires brings him closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. He knows Allah better because of it. And he worships Allah better because of it. It's not because I knew 50 hadith, now I'll know 100. Okay, what were you going to do with the 100 more hadiths now that you know? It's not the accumulation. It is, brings me closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. So anything that will bring him closer to Allah, he jumps at. So that's why he says, how can I reach him if he knows more? Because I want to know more. Because otherwise you'll not understand his determination. Why? Because if I know more, I'll love Allah more. I'll worship better. I'll reach him better. And I want that. So when you seek knowledge for that sake, for that purpose, you'll never get tired of it. So it is said, Wallahu A'lam, that Musa, before he left Al-Khadr, and this doesn't need to be authentic for you to learn from it, it is said that, give me last advice, Musa said to Al-Khadr, give me one last advice. He says, اطلب العلم لتعمل به لا لتحدث به. He says, seek knowledge so that you would practice it, not so that you would narrate it. Not so that you would kind of teach it and proclaim it, but be devoid of practice. So seek it so that you would do something with it, rather than what? Memorize it so you could brag about it. Oh, you know what I've heard today, or what I've learned today? I've learned about this. Not, this is sahih, this is da'if, this is authentic, this is not. There's an intensity or a desire to learn that just so that you could seem knowledgeable. So that's not what Musa alayhi salam is doing. So it says here, he says to his fata, servant. And servant here, right, you could interpret it as assistant. You can interpret it as a disciple. Someone who's with him, assisting him and serving him at the same time. And Musa alayhi salam is not rich so that he could hire someone to serve him. This is someone who wants to be with Musa alayhi salam to serve and learn. And he's none other but Yusha ibn Nun. That's in the hadith. Yusha ibn Nun was to become the leader of Banu Israel and a prophet after Musa alayhi salam. So you understand what he's getting from Musa. Right? So he's being what? A disciple. He's learning. He's seeing. It's experiential. So Yusha ibn Nun, Joshua, son of Nun. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, there's a hadith about him. He says, لم تحبس الشمس قط إلا ليوشع ابن نون ليالي سار إلى بيت المقدس. He says, the sun was never held back for anyone except for Joshua, Yusha, on the nights or on the days where he marched on Jerusalem. So Yusha was the leader, right, of the Israelites after Musa alayhi salam dies, because Musa does not get to see Jerusalem, right? He dies before that. So Yusha leads them into Jerusalem. And as they are engaging in that fight, the sun is about to set, and it's the sun of Friday. And what follows is the night of Sabbath, Saturday. So if it sets, they can't fight, they have to stop. So he prayed to Allah Azza wa Jal that the sun will be held back until they win. So it was held back for Joshua, just for him, no one other. So that is the person who is with Musa alayhi salam. So he says to his fata, his assistant, he says, I will continue to travel until I reach that destination of Amdiya Huquba. فلما بلغ مجمع بينهما, so when they reached the meeting of the two seas and they do not know that that is the place that they were supposed to find Al-Khadr there, نسي حوتهما, they forgot about their fish. فاتخذ سبيله في البحر سربا, it took its way or it's made its way into the sea, سربا, like in a tunnel. So that fish, and some say it was a salted fish, and some say it's a fish that they used to eat from, right? But it's dead, definitely. When they reach that, it says, نسي حوتهما. We'll tell you what happened and who actually forgot. So what happened is that that fish came back to life. Yusha was awake. Musa, alayhim as-salam, was asleep. So Musa is asleep, Yusha is awake. He sees the fish come back to life, jump into the water, and then swim. And as it swims, everything that the water that is around it solidifies, and it creates a tunnel. So the water turns into a tunnel, okay, solid. Because that is what they're going to be tracing later. So it leaves a trace. That is what? Saraba. Saraba is nafaq. Okay, so it goes into the water and there is a tunnel, right, created with that fish. So Yusha sees this, right, and he says, I will tell Musa, I'm not going to wake him, I'll tell him when he wakes up. But when he wakes up, Yusha forgets. Right? He forgets. So, فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَ, when they passed that area. So, Musa was asleep, he woke up, and they continued to travel. And it says they traveled that whole night into the morning until it was time for them to eat their lunch. Right? So he said to his fata, his servant, Atina غَدَائِنَا, give us our lunch, give us our food. لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِينَ هَذَا نَصَبًا, indeed, this travel of ours had made us tired. Indeed, we have encountered tiredness because of our travel, this travel. And you could even read it, نصبا, like we are really tired because of it. So in the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he said that he did not become tired until he passed that point that he was supposed to meet, Al-Khadr. Meaning, throughout his travel, he did not get tired. Not as tired. But when he passed that point, for that half a day or so, he got really tired. And the ulama have said one benefit that you can take for this is that as long as you're doing what pleases Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah assists you. So you do not find as much fatigue. Meaning if Allah wants you to do something, charges you with something, He assists you. إِذَا أَمَرَكَ اللَّهُ بِشَيْءٍ أَعَانَكَ عَلِيٌّ. But when he passed that point, then the assistance of Allah Azza wa Jal stopped because he's supposed to come back to it. That is why he became tired. By the way, something that we forgot to mention, so that, again, to emphasize the resolve of Musa alayhi salam, how long did he walk? How long did he travel? Where is this Majma'ul Bahrain? We don't know. Where these two seas meet, we don't know. But they speculate. The speculation is only useful just for you to imagine the possibility of how far Musa may have traveled. They say it's in Armenia. Allahu a'lam. They say it is at the point where the Mediterranean meets the Atlantic, that they cross into Spain. Allahu a'lam. Right? But I want you to imagine where Musa alayhi salam was. He was in the vicinity of Egypt to travel all that way to the tip of Africa or to Armenia or to any other place that Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about. It is not a short trip. It's not like it's a day or two. They traveled for a very long time. And he was determined, like, it does not matter how long it's going to take me, I'm going to continue to travel. And you're talking about the resolve of Musa alayhi salam, right? That he is going to do this, and he is going to do it. So they got tired, right? And there are kind of minor benefits, right, in almost every ayah. Like one minor benefit here is that if someone is a servant of yours, or tahta yadik, meaning a son of yours or someone, it is all right to command them to give you something, and that does not violate the command or the recommendation of the Prophet ﷺ not to ask people for anything. So you can ask your son, give me this, or you can ask your wife, give me this, or you can ask your employees, do that for me, right? Why? Because you have that power over them, and does not negate the fact that it's recommended not to rely on other people. One other benefit that you can take for this is that it is not the sunnah of the prophets of Allah that if you travel, that you travel without food. As some, right, who believe that true tawakkul, and it's not, they believe that true tawakkul is what? Leave, but don't take any food with you. Just trust Allah Azza wa Jalla. Right? Allah will provide somehow. Leave without money, leave without food, leave without planning, leave without water. Somehow, if you truly, truly trust Allah, you'll find water along the way. You'll find food along the way, right? Otherwise, you'll be trusting the food with you. Here, Musa traveled with what? Food. And you're not going to have more tawakkul than Musa, alayhi salam. We learn from them how to trust Allah Azza wa Jal. So it's insanity, right? And it's against the Sharia to travel without food and then rely on people's donations, right? So in response to this, Yusha says, قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَ إِذْ أَوَيْنَا إِلَى الصَّخْرَةِ فَإِنِّي نَسِيتُ الْحُوتِ. He says, can you imagine what happened to me? That's what araita means. Can you imagine my situation? He's expressing disbelief, in a sense. Like, how could I forget it? Could you see what happened to me? That when we rested near that rock, I forgot about to tell you about the fish. Meaning, like, how could I forget about it? But I forgot about it. And subhanAllah, Allah wanted that. And in the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, he said that Musa told Yusha alayhim as-salam, he says, لا أكلفك إلا أن تخبرني بأمر السمكة. He says, I don't want you to do anything except one thing, which tell me about this fish when it comes back to life. That's the only thing. قال ما كلفت إلا يسيرا. He says, you only asked me for something simple. And he forgot. But that's Allah's destiny, right? Right? That's Allah's destiny. It had to happen this way, that they had to travel to that destination, miss it, and then come back. And that sometimes tests your resolve. Because you say, why did I have to miss it? Why did it have to be so complicated? Why? You submit to Allah Azza wa Jal. It had to happen this way for a reason that Allah Azza wa Jal knows. Maybe Allah wants to increase your reward in the process, teach you something along the way, or test your patience and resolve and trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. Yeah, you missed it, but now you know where it is. So come back to it. So he said, I forgot about it. وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ أَذْكُرَهُ. He says, oh, the shaytan made me forget about it. Does it say, how did the shaytan made him forget about it? He says, by distractions. Otherwise, how would you forget about something like that, which is you're traveling for its sake, and you see a fish come back to life, which is according to what is written, you used to eat from it. And it comes back to life. That's definitely something that you'll remember. But the shaitan distracted him so much with this and this and this and that, that he actually forgot for about half a day or more. And he says, وَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ عَجَبًا. Marvelously, right? In an extraordinary fashion, he went into the sea, or it went into the sea. So, قَالَ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنَّا نَبْغِي. He says, this is what we wanted. And he was not upset, alayhi salam, with his servant, with Yusha. How come you forgot? It had to happen. But he says, this is what we wanted. That's the sign that Allah Azza wa Jal gave to him. فَارْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا. So they went back, tracing back their footsteps until they came to that spot. And then when Musa alayhi salam comes and sees where that fish jumped into the sea, he traces where it swam, because as we said, it is what? Like a tunnel, until he reaches the point where Al-Khadir alayhi salam was sleeping. And it says here, فَوَجَدَا عَبْدًا مِّنْ عِبَادِنَا. So they both found عبداً من عبادنا, a servant of ours. أتيناه رحمة من عندنا, we've given him a rahmah, a mercy from us. وعلمناه من لدنا علما, and we taught him from us a lot. We taught him from us a lot. And we, before we explain this ayah in detail, I'll tell you what the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام says about that encounter. So his name is Al-Khadr, right? And we don't have a lot of details about him, but his name is Al-Khadr. And in an authentic hadith, he says, إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَ الْخَضِرُ خَضِرًا. Okay, you can say Al-Khidr or Al-Khadr. He was named Al-Khidr or Al-Khadr because he once sat on a barren or a dried, on a barren land or dried grass, right? Yellow grass. فَرْوَ بَيْضَاء, it's called. قَالَ فَهْتَزَّتْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِ خَضْرًا. It became, after he sat on it, green. Right? So he sat on something that was yellowish grass, meaning dead, right? After he sat on it, it became what? Green. So his name is is linked to green, خَضِر, because of that. That's where his name comes from. So when Musa alayhi salam found him, he was lying down on his back and he had covered his body with a cloth from his feet to his head, and he's covering his head with it. And he's just lying. So Musa knew that this is the man I'm supposed to talk to. So he says, Assalamu alaikum. He says, Assalamu alaikum to him. And then Al-Khidr lifts the cloth off his face and he says, Wa anna bi ardika salam. Here is, he says, where to find that greeting in this land? No one knows this greeting in this land. Who are you? He says, I am Musa. He said, Musa Bani Israel? Musa of Banu Israel? He said, yes. So he says, what brings you here? And then he says, right, what will follow? What brings you here? He says, I came to learn from you. So here, the ayah number 65, فَوَجَدَ عَبْدًا مِّنْ عِبَادِنَا. That designation of abda min ibadina is a praise from Allah Azza wa Jal to Al-Khadr. Then whenever Allah wants to praise someone, what does he call him? A servant of ours. So Allah is praising him without giving him a name here, but Allah is praising him that this is a truly a servant of ours, pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Ataynahu rahmatan min indina. We have given him mercy from us. And some of the ulama referred to this ayah to indicate that Al-Khadr was a prophet. And we'll talk about this inshallah after we finish the story, his story, whether he was a prophet or not and what this means. So they use this, that we've given him rahmah from us, as evidence that he's a prophet. وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ, and we taught him, مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا, we taught him from us a lot of knowledge. So it means, what that this knowledge that he has is from Allah Azza wa Jal. It's not learned. Because there is knowledge that is earned, that you practice, that you acquire. But this is directly from Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? And that's why he knows what he knows. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to detect the secrets or uncover the secrets that Allah Azza wa Jal had enabled him to, which Musa had no access to, right? And that's why مِنْ لَدُنَّ from us directly, right? So this is privileged knowledge, and it's knowledge of what is secret. So Musa alayhi salam then asks him, قَالَ لَهُ مُوسَى هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. Musa asks him, can I follow you, right? So that you would teach me a knowledge that you have that will guide me to Allah's pleasure. هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ, can I? So this is, he's seeking his permission. So who is better, Musa or Al-Khadr? Musa. By far, Musa is better. Even when we say Al-Khadr is a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, still Musa is better. On average, not on average, really, who knows more, Musa or Al-Khadr? Musa. Who's better, Musa? Yet because he knows that he has knowledge that he wants to get from him, he's very humble, like a student. Can I follow you? Do you permit me to follow you? Right? Even though he's better, he's higher. Do he permit me to follow you? So that you could teach me from what you have been taught a knowledge that is rushd, which is a knowledge that guides to khair, to goodness, to righteousness. So that is the purpose of that knowledge. You will teach me something that will take me to whom? Allah Azza wa Jal. That's what I want from it. It's not just simply increase my knowledge. Increase my me in knowledge that takes me to Allah Azza wa Jal. So you do permit me to follow you. And there in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ tells us that Al-Khadr replies and he says, isn't it enough for you that you have a Torah and whatever Allah had revealed to you? And why do you want what I have? Don't you have enough with a Torah and whatever Allah had taught you? And also he said to him in another part of the hadith or another narration of the hadith, he says, you have knowledge that Allah had taught you that I do not know. And I have knowledge that Allah had taught me that you do not know. Meaning, why is it that you want to learn from me? But Musa insisted that I really want to follow you and I want to learn from you. So he told him, قَالَ إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. He said, you will not be able to be patient at all with me. لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا, meaning at all. You will not be able to be patient with me. وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. And how could you possibly be patient with something that you have no knowledge of? No full grasp of. You will see things that will not make sense to you. So he's not criticizing Musa alayhi salam. He's saying that patience in such an instance is not possible. No one can do it, right? Meaning if any one of us were to find himself in that situation, you will not be able to be patient. And that tells you, one of the benefits that that tells you is that the more knowledge that you have about a situation, the more patient you can be, right? But if you lack it, you can't be patient. So Musa, who's among the top prophets of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, whose patience is unparalleled, because if you ever to doubt Musa's patience, consider who took down Pharaoh, right? Who stood in the face of Pharaoh? Musa alayhi salam. So you never question Musa's patience. But Al-Khadr is saying that you cannot be patient, and how could you ever be patient when you're not going to understand what is happening to you? Because you're going to, as a person, as a human being, you're going to employ your rationality to whatever you are seeing. You're going to employ the knowledge of the Sharia that is revealed to you in whatever you are seeing, and whatever you're going to be seeing will break all of that, will contradict all of that. How could you be patient and reserve judgment and not question any of this? So he said, you will not be able to be patient, as if he's trying again to dissuade him not to, convince him not to, right? قَالَ سَتَجِدُنِي إِن شَاءَ اللَّهُ صَابِرًا وَلَا أَعْصِي لَكَ أَمْرًا. He says, you will find me by the will of Allah, in sha Allah, patient, and I will not disobey you. If you command me, I will not disobey you. So that was Musa's intention. You will find me patient with you. I will keep your companionship, right? And you will find me to be patient. And he said when we talked about insha'Allah, to always include insha'Allah in future proclamations. This will happen insha'Allah. I'll commit to this insha'Allah because there is barakah in it. So Musa alayhi salam remembered that and he said, I will not disobey you. Right? So he said, قَالَ فَإِنِ اتَّبَعْتَنِي فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. He says, if you were to follow me, then do not ask me about a thing. And don't object to anything until it be me who mentions that to you. Until I explain it to you or give you an answer, don't ask and don't object. Right? And one may ask himself, you know, why did he put such a condition on him? Right? And that is, wallahu a'lam, right, to teach Musa and teach us a very important lesson about holding judgment and questioning your thoughts before you rush and you criticize, before you rush and you declare or you denounce, that there are things that are hidden that require further contemplation from you. So for Musa alayhi salam, it is to show him the limits of what he knows compared to the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. For us, to show us that whatever Allah does and we don't understand, there's a reason. Whatever you see in this life and you fail to comprehend, there is a reason. So hold judgment and benefit and learn from these stories. So yes, you're not going to understand it, but Allah wants to see your patience. Will you be faithful and believe in Allah Azza wa Jal until such a time that Allah tells you why it happened? You see? You're not going to understand it now. And it could be, in some cases, terrifying. But you're not going to understand it now. Where is your iman until Allah reveals it? Do you trust and do you believe? And that is the point where people falter and fail. That's where we fail. Why did this happen to me? I don't understand. Yeah, it's the same scenario. Why did I lose that job? I don't understand. If I got this job, I'll be so much better. I'll be happier. I'll have money. I can do this. I can do that. Why did I not get into that college, university? Why did not have this and that in life? Because if I had it, I could do this and this and this. And now I don't understand. But you take that understanding as lack of wisdom and lack of purpose and chaos. And you object to it. And Allah is telling you, do not object until I show you. That's the lesson that is there. And Musa alayhi salam is being taught that lesson, right? And they say, Wallahu a'lam, it's also to show the limits of Musa's knowledge. And that it's not a condition of being a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal that you should know everything. Right? That is, if we say that this ayah or this surah was also referring to the time, and we discussed that, and we said that it is weak, but even let's assume that that's actually true, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, I'll tell you about the answer tomorrow, and he did not say insha'Allah, and Jibreel alayhi salam was late 20 days or so, right? And then the disbelievers said, if he was a prophet, he would know about this. So Allah Azza wa Jal wants to show what? That even a prophet of Allah, who is Musa alayhi salam, will not know everything. Unless Allah teaches him. So there could be a connection between the two. So don't ask me about anything until I explain it to you. So that was the condition between them. فَانْتَلَقَ So they set forth, they walked. How long, what direction, we do not know. حَتَّى إِذَا رَكِبَ فِي السَّفِينَةِ خَرَقَهَا When they boarded the ship, he put a hole in it. And it tells us in the Sunnah that they reached one bank of a river or the shore. And the people who had that ship, they recognized Al-Khadr. They say, Al-Abdu Salih, this pious man, come, we'll give you a ride for free. For you it's free, because that's their livelihood, but for you it's going to be free. So they took Musa and they took Al-Khadr. We don't know what happened to Yusha, by the way. Is he with them or not? We don't know, right? He's not mentioned in the story. So they board that ship. And while they're on the ship, right, a bird comes, and this says that in the hadith, a bird comes, stands on the ship, and, you know, takes a few drops of water. And Al-Khadr turns to Musa and he said, my knowledge and your knowledge compared to the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, right, is nothing compared to what this bird had taken from this sea or from this river. That is, how much did he take? Insignificant amount. Does it perceptively, I mean, in perception, does it decrease the water? Not at all. So he's saying that my knowledge, everything that I and you know, does not take anything from the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that it is nothing. So again, the emphasis is about ilm. It's about ilm. How much of it is useful, how much of it may not be useful, because if you have so much of it and you think that you know, it becomes tyrannical. Rebellious, like the people of the book, they say, we have the knowledge of the Torah, right? And if whoever has the knowledge of the Torah has a lot of knowledge, and they use that to oppose Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, that's harmful knowledge, right? So actually, a knowledge, that is, imagine that a person could learn the Quran and it could harm them. Yeah? Right? Yeah. A person could learn the hadith and it could harm them. So what are you doing with this knowledge? Right? Because if you're not doing it for Allah's sake, it will harm you. So it has to be for Allah's sake and you have to use it right. So while on the ship, right, that bird and that, you know, description of knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal to their knowledge, and then he goes to one of the planks of the ship and he breaks it, he removes it. And Musa alayhi salam says, أَخَرَقْتَهَا لِتُغْرِقَ أَهْلَهَا? Did you make a hole in it so that they will drown? I mean, consequently, they will drown. لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا إِمْرَى. You have done something grave. Musa was shocked. Because he, in the hadith it says, people who had honored us by taking us for free, right? Taking us for free. And you repay them by causing that defect in their ship, the source of livelihood, and they could drown because of it? Indeed, this is something gravely heinous that you have done. So Musa couldn't hold himself, and he commented. Then Al-Khadr says, قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. Did I not tell you that you will not be able to be patient with me? So Musa, he said, قَالَ لَا تُؤَخِذْنِي بِمَا نَسِيتُ وَلَا تُرْهِقْنِي مِنْ أَمْلِي عُسْرًا. He says, Don't blame me because I forgot. Because this is, I forgot. He genuinely forgot. He says, don't blame me or hold me responsible for forgetting. And don't overwhelm me in this matter. Right? Don't make it too difficult for me by being too particular. Forgive me this time. For this time, forgive me. I know I broke the condition between me and you, but please forgive me because I forgot. That is the gist of what he's telling you. Don't hold me responsible for it. I forgot. And don't overwhelm me with blame, but forgive me. So he overlooks it. قَالَ فَانْطَلَقَ حَتَّى إِذَا لَقِيَ غُلَامًا فَقَتَلَهُ. He says, then they walked. How long did they walk? We don't know. Until they came across him people. And he found a boy, and he killed him, right? And it says in the hadith that the boy was playing. وَكَانَ وَضِيئًا. He was beautiful. Like he was a handsome boy. So I want you to imagine this scene to understand the reaction. Just walking, you walking with Al-Khadr. It doesn't matter whatever promise you made him. You're walking into Al-Khadr. It had been 1, 2, 5 days, 10 days, whatever, right? You made this promise, I don't know how long ago. And you walk just kind of casually into a village, into a city. You find kids playing. And he goes to this one really beautiful, cute kid. And he goes to him. And it says in the hadith, he held him by the head and he plucked his head out. فَاقْتَلَعَ. Now what's your reaction? It's going to be quiet? Ooh, that is difficult. So you understand what Musa was facing, right? When this happened, right? Like this handsome, cute little kid. And that's why he said, أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّا. Did you kill a pure soul? Meaning he did not reach puberty yet. Maybe about, but pure soul. He's not sinful. بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ. And he did not commit anything to require that killing. Right? I mean, even if he was a kid and he killed someone, he's not going to really be responsible for it like an adult. But he just wants to emphasize that he didn't do a thing to deserve it. And he's pure. لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا نُكْرًا. You have done something reprehensible. And that criticism is more severe than the one before it. Wallahu a'lam. Other scholars of tafsir, they reverse it. They say, no, the first criticism was severe. They say because in this, the first criticism, a lot of people could drown. In this criticism, only one, you know, could perish. The others, other mufassirin, they saw, no, it's the opposite. Because in the first criticism, they could drown, but they could fix the ship. But this one, definitely, a person died. Right? So Al-Khadr says, قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. Did I not tell you? So there's the addition of لَكَ. Did I not tell you that you're not going to be able patient to me, you'll be able to be patient with me. It's as if the Khadr is telling him, did I not tell you directly to your face? That's what it's like. Remember, I told you to your face, directly to you, you're not going to be able to be patient with me. And you still, you object. So, قَالَ إِن سَأَلْتُكَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدَهَا فَلَا تُصَاحِبْنِي. He says, if I ask you about anything after this, don't keep me as a companion. قَدْ بَلَغْتَ مِنْ لَدُنِّي عُذْرًا. You have reached the limit from me that would excuse you if you reject my companionship. Meaning, I cannot blame you anymore. قَدْ بَلَغْتَ. You've reached the limit with me. That I said, I mean, I broke my promise once, I forgot, twice, and now the third time. If it happens a third time, we'll part ways. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith, he said, لَوَدِدْنَا أَنَّهُ صَبَرْ. He says, I wish that Musa would have been patient. Right? And he would not have put that limit on himself, وَلَكِنَّهُ اسْتَحْيَا. But he was shy. He felt that he was a burden now. Right? He couldn't, like, I promise and I broke the promise twice. He couldn't burden this man anymore. That is, if I cannot for a third time, then that is out of shyness, out of haya, I'm going to leave that. So he put that condition. Not al-Khadr, he put that condition about himself. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So that, then they set forth until they've come to a city or a village, and it could be both. استطعما أهلها. They asked its people for food. فأبوا أن يضيفوهما. They refused to give them food. Right? So why did they ask people for food? Because they needed what? To eat. Means they ran out. Musa and Al-Khadr, they ran out of food. They had nothing. Nothing to eat. And so now they are in a new place in their travel and they have no food. So it is halal for them to ask for food, and it's an obligation on that city or that village to provide for the guests, because that is the norm. And in fact, that is true in Islam. The norm, and Islamically, if you have a guest and there are no means for them in that city or village, there are no hotels, there are no restaurants, you are the one who's supposed to host them. 3 days, right? So here, they're asking people, can we have food? As guests, that's their right. They refused to give them any food. And the Prophet ﷺ, in the hadith, he said, وَكَانُوا أَهْلَ قَرْيَةٍ لِآمَا. Right? They were stingy. Right? They were not nice. They were not kind. The people of that city or village, they're not kind. Stingy. So went, and no one wants to give them any food. And some have commented, and he says, if you want to see the value of the dunya in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal, consider that Musa and Al-Khadr alayhim as-salam had to ask for food. To see that Allah, and to see that it's worth nothing in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? But that the righteous, that the very top, go hungry, and they don't have enough, and they have to ask. And the rich, right, who own the world, could be nothing in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal. So just to see the value of the world that they had to ask. And that, by the way, tells you something else, which is that in the story that they weave around Al-Khadr and around the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal, they perceive of the wali as someone who, if he does not have food, it just springs out of nowhere. He takes sand and it turns into food. He, you know, gestures to something and it turns into food. Here, that's not the case. If Al-Khadr was considered to be at the top of the wilayah of Allah Azza wa Jal for some people, he asked for food. That means that he has no capacity to find food on his own. Otherwise, why would you ask for food? You with me? Right? Because it would not be permissible for you to ask if you can't find. So if he can find, why would he ask? It means he has no access to food. And the wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, or a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, doesn't have this, you know, intrinsic innate ability to create food. If Allah gives it, yes, but otherwise he goes hungry, right? So they wanted for them to be hosted, and they wanted food from them, but they refused. فَوَجَدَ فِيهَا جِدَارًا. They found a wall that was about to collapse. يُرِيدُ أَيَّنْ قَضَّهُ. فأقامه. So he held it up. He fixed it. And it says in the hadith, he just wiped over it. And how did he fix it? Simply by doing what? Wiping over it. It came back erect. Stood up back again. It's not gonna fall. فأقامه. So Musa عليه السلام said what? قال لو شئت لاتخذت عليه أجرا. It says if you could have taken something back for this task, because we're in what? We're in need. We don't have food to eat. So rather than do this for free, why couldn't you have negotiated some fee so that we could eat? And that is very reasonable, because otherwise, like, why do it for free? And it's permissible, by the way, to take a fee for what you do. عَمَلُ الْيَدْ, right? Your own actions, what you build, your labor, it's permissible. So like, why could you not have done this so that we would find food to eat? قَالَ هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكَ. So according to the condition, he says, this is the point where we depart. I will tell you what you could not be patient with. I'll tell you what you found difficult and had escaped your patience. So he says, أَمَّا السَّفِينَةُ فَكَانَتْ لِمَسَاكِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ فِي الْبَحْرِ. He says, as for the ship, it was for masakin, poor people, right? So yes, they were poor, but they owned that ship. So they used to use it for income. يَعْمَلُونَ فِي الْبَحْرِ, right? They use it, right, to transport people on water. فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَعِيبَهَا. I wanted to create a defect in it. وَكَانَ وَرَاءَهُمْ مَلِكُ يَأْخُذُ كُلَّ سَفِينَةٍ غَصْبًا. And ahead of them was a king who confiscates illegally, unjustly, every ship that he sees. Right? So I wanted to create a defect so that he would leave them alone. Right? So that's the one. وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ, right? وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنِ. He says, as for the boy, right? His parents are believers. They have iman. فَخَشِينَا. We are afraid, or you could also translate it, we hated that, right? فَخَشِينَا, meaning he's talking what? I and Allah Azza wa Jal, right? فَخَشِينَا. Or you could say, we were afraid, or we hated that, أَيُّرْهِقَهُمَا طُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا, that he would exhaust them and overwhelm them with rebellion and disbelief. In the hadith, it says, alayhi salatu wasalam, that boy, okay, is a disbeliever. He will grow up to be a disbeliever. That's how Allah Azza wa Jal created him. That's his destiny. He will reject iman. And that if he were to continue to grow up and become a young man and then an adult, what will happen to him, to the parents? They will be overwhelmed with his ingratitude. So he has rebellion, so he will hurt them, not listen to them. He will go against them. And also overwhelm them with disbelief, meaning either exhaust them with so much disbelief coming from his side, or lead them to disbelief because they love him. Right? So parents can influence their children, but children can also influence their parents. So either that he will trouble them so much that it would be so overwhelming for them, or that he will lead them to disbelief. So he says, فَأَرَدْنَا, so we wanted that أَيُبْدِلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا, that Allah, their Rabb, will replace them with someone who's خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ زَكَاتًا, purer than he is, وَأَقْرَبَ رُحْمًا, and more merciful than he is. So in two things, in his relationship to them, right, he will be kinder and more merciful. And with Allah Azza wa Jal, he's purer, so he is not a disbeliever. وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. As for the wall, it was for two orphans in the city. وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا, and there is a treasure that was buried underneath it. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا, and their father was righteous. فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ, so your Rabb, he is speaking now to Musa alayhi salam, he's referencing his Rabb, meaning now notice the care of your Rabb, now that you understand the hidden wisdom behind what I've done. So your Rabb wanted that they would reach maturity when they are strong and extract the treasure out of mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he says at the end, وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي, I did not do it based on my own judgment. ذَلِكَ تَأْوِيلُ مَا لَمْ تَسْطِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا. This is the interpretation and the explanation of what you could not be patient with. And notice, if you kind of speak Arabic here, in the beginning, when he said, in Ayah 78, he said, تَسْتَطِعْ. And in Ayah 82, he says, تَسْطِعْ. Right? And the difference between them is that the more letters you add, the more difficulty it conveys. So, تَسْتَطِعْ is something that you require energy to be able to do. تَسْطِعْ is easier. Meaning, after I explained it to you, it's easier to understand now all the things that you did not understand, so it's easier to be patient with it. That's what that signifies. Just one missing letter from there to here. Now patience is easier, right? Because now you understand my explanation of why I did what I did, right? If you want to see some of the patience, some of the benefits in the acts of Al-Khadr, alayhi salam, and we'll talk about him, his being prophethood. The first incident of what he did to the masakin, the poor people, it is doing the lesser of two evils. And you could take that principle from there. ارتكاب أخف المفسدتين أو أخف المضرتين. Why? Because removing a plank from that ship is harm or not? It is harm. But there is a greater harm. So you would commit in places and times when nothing else is available, the lesser harm to prevent the bigger harm. Even though he did not request their permission for this, but that was the guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal. He gave him permission. So committing the lesser harm to avoid the bigger harm. And that is a great principle in Sharia, right? A great principle in Sharia. If you understand it, then you'll understand a lot of the wisdom of Sharia. So he is showing this in action. أَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنَ. Here they will be tested with the thing that they love. And someone may say, طيب, if this boy was going to be a disbeliever, why give it to them to begin with and not give them the good son or the good daughter without them having to pass through this? Having this son and having him die and having him be killed and the agony and all of that. And what is the answer to this? In addition to the fact that you submit to Allah Azza wa Jalla and His judgment, you don't question it. But will they become better parents because of this loss or not? Yeah. Right? How? Because if they are patient, Allah rewards them for it. And losing a child, right, is something. So if they can be patient with that, Allah elevates them because of it. And you don't know how positively it will affect them the next time they have another child. So now they will be ready and better equipped because they are better believers. So Allah Azza wa Jal tests to elevate, right? And the last one here, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ, was two orphans in the city. What is the thing that preserved them? Or preserved that treasure for them? Preserved that money? And think about it too. What would have happened to that money if he just let that wall collapse? What did we say about the people in that city or village? Yeah, they're not nice, right? They're stingy. If they were to find that treasure, what would happen? They would take it all. They would leave nothing. So what is the thing that is quoted in this ayah that preserved the money for these children? وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Yeah. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا. Their father was righteous. Right? But he's not there, طيب. He's not there to save them. He left it, but he's not there to take care of them. Who's there to take care of them? Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why when you're worried about your children, and sometimes you think I have to commit to haram to save them, you're actually doing the opposite. You're condemning them with the haram that you're doing. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, if you earn halal, Allah will take care of them on your behalf. If you are righteous, Allah will take care of your son and your son. They say up to 7 generations, Allah Azza wa Jal knows. But at least the immediate family, when you are righteous, Allah Azza wa Jal, even when you're not there, you're busy at work. And by the way, I'm not calling for neglect. Oh, I trust my children. It doesn't matter. The internet open. Do whatever you want with it because I trust them. That's naive and foolish. What I'm saying about that, sometimes you can't be there. Or Allah Azza wa Jal takes you away from this life. And they're on their own. And you think that they are alone. Allah Azza wa Jal is there. And Allah Azza wa Jal sends someone like Musa and Al-Khadr to assist these orphans out of nowhere. And they will probably not know that Musa and Al-Khadr were there. But Allah knows. So if you really want to take care of your family, take care of what Allah loves, and Allah will take care of what you love. Right? You'll see, subhanAllah, like in these incidents, the 1, 2, 3, that the first one, and this is, by the way, an ijtihad to try kind of to understand the categories of these examples. One is about a test or a fitna that comes from what you fear. Because you're afraid of a king who will confiscate, overpower you. So that's fear. So you could be tested from fear. And here Allah Azza wa Jalla is showing you that He could protect you from it. Right? The second one, you are tested from something that you love. The thing that you love could destroy you, which is your child. Right? That child would have destroyed them. Yet Allah saved them from it. So sometimes what you love could destroy you. So you could be tested with what you love. It could be a spouse, it could be a business, right? Anything. The third one is a mix, because now you worry. It's something that you love, but you fear what's going to happen to it. And Allah also could take care of that. And so the theme that runs through this, wallahu a'lam, if you want to tie it to the people of the cave, Ashabul Kahf, is that when you submit to Allah and rely on Him, He protects you. Right? So you see a theme running through all of this, wallahu a'lam, is that all of these incidents are Allah's protections. The first and the second and the third. But it's not easily visible. There's something in the background. And that's why when Musa alayhi salam, why couldn't he be patient? Because he could not understand the background, the present, the future, what's going to happen to it. This was not revealed to Musa alayhi salam. His reaction is normal. According to his own sharia, to what Allah had taught him, his reaction is absolutely normal. This is how you're supposed to react. Al-Khadr knows things that Allah had taught him. And because of that, he's able to do this. Right? Otherwise, it'd be all be impermissible. Why would you go and kill a child? Right? Right? Now, let's comment on the issue of Al-Khadr being a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal or simply a wali of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the scholars disagree here, right? So some scholars say he's a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal for sure, and some scholars say, no, he's just a wali of Allah because we have no evidence that he's a prophet. So the evidence that we have that he's a prophet can be picked from here and there. There's not a clear statement. So the evidence that we can refer to is when he says, وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. He says, I did not do it based on my own judgment. Meaning this has come to me from Allah Azza wa Jal. So I'm going to present the argument of those who say that he's a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? So he says, if he says, I did not do it of my own judgment, then who taught me? Then Allah Azza wa Jal taught me. So if Allah taught him, how did he teach him if he was a wali? Simply an inspiration that comes, you just have a feeling that you're supposed to go and kill someone. And how do you know that that feeling is actually accurate? Because the shaitan could be involved. So a wali today, no matter who he is, if you feel like this boy is going to be a disbeliever, do you go and kill him? Do you have no certainty that your feeling, your vision, they call it kashf sometimes, like, you know, had been revealed to you, that is actually true? Now, there are some types of kashf. This is kind of a mystical terminology, right? Kashf meaning that something like would be revealed to you. Sometimes it could happen. Like, You walk in, you know, in the street, and you look at someone and you say, that person is a thief. And it turns out that's the case. You have no clue how you knew this, yet Allah gave it to you. Is that possible? Oh yeah, of course it's possible. Yani Umar ibn al-Khattab was famous for this, right? So there is that. But it's not infallible that whatever you feel is right, you could be wrong. So if he says, if that's the case, how did he know that all of these things he felt, or just this knowledge that he had, is absolutely true, especially killing a child? So fixing a wall, okay, what's the consequences? That's fine. If you feel like fixing a wall, fix it. If you feel that you want to, you know, introduce a defect into a ship, okay, maybe we can tolerate this, because you could fix it later. But killing a child, where's that certainty that you could have that later on he'll grow up to be a kafir? So that's what they point to, and they say, he could not have gotten this except that it is from Allah Azza wa Jal. He must have been a prophet. And those who argue that he's a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, they also want to close the door for those who say, not only is he a wali, right, but the things that he does or did can be done again. If I'm a wali of Allah, or he's a wali, or whatever, if this was done, can be done again. So a person who was a wali of Allah could have similar feelings or similar revelations, and he could do things that go against the Sharia, but dare you not object to him. So you could find someone who says, I'm a wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, because see, they'll base it on this. Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, go into a store and steal something, and you tell him, but this is stealing this haram. He says, no, you don't object to a wali of Allah. Don't you know the story of Al-Khadr and Musa? So what do you say to that? I say, Allah Azza wa Jal told Musa alayhi salam that Al-Khadr has knowledge from Allah. Go and learn from him. This person who has just stolen something is who? Right? And what claim does he have to knowledge? And we have a sharia from Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam that encompasses all of humanity, including the jinn. The sharia of Musa alayhi salam does not extend to Al-Khadr. Right? The sharia of Musa does not extend to Al-Khadr. Al-Khadr was outside the sharia of Musa alayhi salam. He was not, so Musa was not a prophet to Al-Khadr. Right? Or a messenger to Al-Khadr. But anyone claiming today that he is not under the sharia of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is what? Kafir. Right? He's a kafir. Right? Because he just rejects Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So there is a very huge difference between what Al-Khadr did and what anybody today does. And if anyone today goes against the sharia in the name of being a wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, we condemn him, because you cannot reproduce the actions of Al-Khadr, right? That's important. Now, some claim also, and that's kind of popular in some literature, that Al-Khadr is still alive, right? He didn't die. And again, that is an issue of disagreement, because some scholars will say, yeah, he's still alive. And the fact that you see some scholars saying this does not mean that, oh yeah, since there's disagreement, there's a possibility. No, it doesn't mean that. But we ask, where's the evidence that he's still alive, right? And some scholars, you know, they report about their sheikhs or about their teachers, and they said, my sheikh said that he met Al-Khadr, that he met him, right? Because the idea there is that he's invisible, but he appears to certain people and he teaches them like secrets, like he taught Musa alayhi salam, right? This and this and this, a certain dua, a certain thing, a certain time, a certain this. And it's very fascinating, right? So some people say, okay, he manifested to my sheikh and he said that he's Al-Khadr. So once someone asked that sheikh or that person who made that claim, and he said, and how did he know that that thing was Al-Khadr? Just self-identification? Meaning, here, I am Al-Khadr? How did he know? And what if he was a jinn, he claiming to be Al-Khadr? How do you disprove that? Right? So there is no basis to the life of Al-Khadr alayhi salam till today. The accurate opinion, okay, is that first he died. Because if he did not die, and this is really a strong argument, if he did not die and was alive at the time of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he must have come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam and accepted Islam and fought with him. He must have. Because the Prophet ﷺ said about Musa, if Musa were alive, he could not do except follow me. Musa was alive, he would have to come and follow me. So Al-Khadr is alive, he has to come and follow Muhammad ﷺ. Nobody saw him, right? And as far as having extended life, there is no evidence for that. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that 100 years from now, no living being on the face of this earth would be alive. That's an authentic hadith. Okay? After 100 years from now, from what he spoke, alayhi salatu wasalam, no living being on the face of this earth will be alive. So we have no evidence to exclude Al-Khadr from this. So we say that he's a prophet of Allah and that he died. Wallahu a'lam. Okay. I think that's it for the story. And if I remember something, inshallah, about it, or if you do remember something about it, inshallah, let me know. And next week, inshallah, we'll begin with the story of Dhul Qarnayn, bi'idhnillah azza wa jalla. So if we have a couple of questions, inshallah, tafaddali. Na'am. Sahih, sahih. Na'am, sorry. صحيح ممكن ممكن ي- ي- لك وجه ما تقوله له وجه اليسوع اليسع 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 no it's not اليسع it's not اليسع but يوشع it's not اليسع يسع is a different one and I need to think about what that name would be in Arab in English Elisha or Elijah, something like that. Elisha or Elijah. واحدة منهم يعني. But your point is well taken because it's grammatically you say it is the dual. فانطلقا, two moved. So لك وجه يعني. It's possible that it's just only them, the two. And that he sent يعني Joshua back or he just sat back. الله أعلم. There's possibility. بارك الله فيك. نعم. إن شاء الله. يا تفضلي. Yeah. What allowed him, what made him not get more knowledge out of the Na'am, na'am. So your question is that commentary is not always advisable because that is the thing that stopped him from getting more from Al-Khadr's story. And that is the sentiment of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when he said, as we said, I wish that he was more patient because he would have heard or encountered more wonders. So yes, especially when you don't have the full story, commenting, objecting, criticizing could be very counterproductive until you have all of the facts with you. And that tells you, right, barakallahu fiqh, at the limits of knowledge. That if you don't know something, hold judgment until you know everything and then start talking about it. But yeah, there's a lesson in that, inshallah. Okay, so I'm going to scan the room, inshallah, to see if there are any hands up. Yeah. Naam, so the meaning of the hadith, right, is so no, 100 years from now, when 100 years from now passes, no one on the face of the earth will be alive. Who is alive now, no one will be alive. So that everybody who is alive today, 100 years from now, all of them will be dead. So that tells you that is this generation, right? All of it is going to be extinct right now. طيب إن شاء الله. طيب جزاكم الله خيرا. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. الحمد لله.